Welcome to Power Play on the day when Canada's third largest province remains in electoral limbo following last night's squeaker minority victory for the Liberals in British Columbia. Coming up on today's show, we will sort out the governing scenarios and national implications with a political scientist on the scene and ask the National Green Party leader how her BC counterpart will handle the balance of power. Also ahead, the White House was in full damage control today to explain the firing of FBI Director James Comey. The initial Donald Trump justification is in transition to something slightly more believable. We'll talk to our expert governing the carnage, covering the carnage, and with the waters dropping, the concerns are rising that the flooding of Quebec was due to insufficient water flow controls or deliberately outdated information. Our journalists discussed that and more. But first, the polls signaled a minority mandate, and this time, they were right. Premier Christy Clark has been invited to form a fifth Liberal government by the province's lieutenant governor after winning 43 of the 87 seats. But it's all subject to change when absentee ballots and recounts are factored into last night's count.
What people told us is they want us to work together and they want government to work across partisan lines. And they want us to find a different way of doing that. And I embrace that. That voice from people that they sent us. But remember this, in this election, the NDP vote did not go up. 0.2% increase, I think, in popular vote. What happened in this election is the Greens doubled their vote, they tripled their representation, and that was a really strong message.
Well, NDP leader John Horgan's party won 41 seats, but he's not conceding that he won't be premier when the dust settles.
So I believe 60% of British Columbians have spoken they want a change of government. I support proportional representation. It's part of our plan. Other parties who've sought office in this election also have that as part of their plan. This is an opportunity to demonstrate to the public how a minority group could work, and I look forward to those discussions.
Well, BC Green Party leader Andrew Weaver is, for the time being, holding the balance of power to pick a premier.
What a remarkable evening it was yesterday. What a remarkable evening to witness a surge of support for the BC Greens.
All right, let's bring in University of British Columbia political scientist David Moskrop to sift through the possibilities. All right, David, she's taking a bit of a bow for being reelected. How rock solid is that boast, and when will we know for sure?
Well, we won't know for sure until, the absentee ballots are counted and a few recounts occur. So we'll get a better idea around May 24th. But she remains the premier in the meantime and presumably after as well, at least until the legislature meets. That said, some numbers I've seen today suggest that about 60% of British Columbians want her gone. So there's some public pressure, and Andrew Weaver's base also wants her gone. So, who knows whether this is going to end up once the legislature meets. It could well be a sort of Ontario in 1985 scenario where she loses a vote of confidence pretty early into her government.
Yeah, because she's not scheduled, I guess, to come back until the fall, but you pretty much have to test the confidence of the legislature before then, wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, legally she doesn't. Politically, I think it would be quite silly and potentially suicidal not to. British Columbia, there's a pretty serious populist tradition that runs through the province. Folks want to know who their government is. They want to see the government, and they want to see them doing something. The legislature doesn't sit that often to begin with in British Columbia. The calendar is pretty lean. So, there's going to be a lot of pressure for them to get going. Plus, folks want things done. The electorate sent a signal that they want a different kind of British Columbia, whether it's governed by the Liberals or the NDP or whomever. So there's going to be pressure to get moving on that right away.
Yeah, a lot of pressure's got to go on the Green Party because they've got to back one of these two horses, and they've got to act, I guess, fairly responsibly to make sure they don't alienate their own base by sacrificing it for a power grab or power influence with one of the other two parties. How big is the challenge for Mr. Weaver?
He gets a few days where he gets to be the cat that ate the canary. But, his job is going to get really tough really quickly because he seems to be signaling that he wants to work with the Liberals. And the lieutenant governor has suggested that she would like Premier Clark to continue to govern. So it seems like the most likely scenario here, at least to begin with, is, the Liberals and the Greens govern. But the vast majority of Andrew Weaver's base wants him to work with the NDP. So he's in a tough situation. And while the Greens have been able with one seat to play the purity card, that's going to get that card's going to get pretty dirty pretty fast, because he's going to have to start, you know, making sausages. It's going to get political.
Yeah, I was wondering, I got Elizabeth May standing by here, but I want to ask you before I get to her about, you know, is this Green Party going to have to demand pipelines not go ahead or resources stay in the ground? Because that's sort of where the Green Party's lying. But he seems to be talking about, you know, campaign and political financing as his number one priority.
Yeah, you know, I can't get inside his head, but my read is this. He doesn't get along with John Horgan particularly well. He prefers to work with Christy Clark. He's more likely to work with Christy Clark. And I think he's kind of playing a long game here where he thinks, look, if I can get proportional representation on a ballot in British Columbia, if I can get big money out of British Columbia politics, you know, I help the Green fortunes going forward, and I'll trade off the environment today for the long-term prospects of the Greens. You know, I don't blame him for that. That actually makes good sense. But you have to deal with the base in the meantime.
If she's sitting in a minority here, David, it sounds like, is her leadership subject to a revolt at all from within the party before they go to the next election, which, as you know, with a minority could happen at any time?
Yeah, you know, there's no heir apparent, for one. It isn't sort of like a situation where, you know, Jean Chrétien has to look over his shoulder at Paul Martin every 15 minutes to make sure the knives hasn't come out. So she seems to be fairly secure for the moment. And if she's able to hold together a coalition or a functioning minority government, you know, I think they'll let her go. That said, if it starts to look unstable, you know, who knows? Because they may not want her fighting the next election in 18 months if she can't hold this one together. She may well be forced to resign. That said, I don't see anyone in the BC Liberals who's quite ready to take over. So it doesn't seem like they have much of a transition plan in place.
All right. Well, interesting times out there. David, thanks for joining us. Appreciate this.
My pleasure.
All right. Here's how the Prime Minister and the opposition leaders reacted to the results.
We have strong institutions in Canada at the provincial and federal level, and they are set up for dealing with complex situations, and we look forward to watching how things unfold in BC. It was a tough-fought election. I congratulate everyone who got elected, and look forward to working with BC on many big issues of matter to British Columbians and to Canadians.
It's absolutely a blow for the pipeline. Kinder Morgan became an issue in the BC election, and look, it doesn't matter who's in power in BC. We need the Prime Minister to do his job.
There's still a lot of things that are uncertain, but one thing is certain. A majority of British Columbians voted for change, and that's a sure sign. There are a lot of things that are going to have to be looked at in the next few days, but it's quite clear to us that we pulled off a great campaign.
All right. Well, that was BC Green Party. It's got only three seats, but it could hold, as we said, with the balance of power, depending on how the recount and the absentee ballots go. Let's bring in federal Green Party leader Elizabeth May to preview the possibilities. All right, Elizabeth, I mean, you're not in any way connected to this party, but
well,
you
I
are
am. I'm a
spiritually.
Member. No, I'm a member of the Green Party of BC and a huge supporter of Andrew Weaver. And I now have a Green MLA where I live. So my MLA is the quite extraordinary Sartlip First Nation, Adam Olson, a wonderful leader. And across the Saanich Inlet, up in Shawnigan Lake, we have the wonderful Sonia Furstenow, who is quite, again, someone with a track record of diligence and hard work to defend water in her community.
All right, those three could have the balance of
That's
power.
Right.
It looks like it. What should they do with it?
Well, first of all, you have to step back and look at how Westminster parliamentary democracy is supposed to work. And I agree with what the Prime Minister just said. We have institutions, we have traditions.